How old are you?
21.
21? My oldest granddaughter is 21.
Awesome.
Yeah. I knew there was some reason why it's like kind of connected. You know, while you were playing, I just said, wow, what is it about Bea? There's something that's just really wonderful. I feel like God wants you to know He loves your heart. Like, no, not like really. He really loves your heart. And it's kind of hard to have a heart like yours sometimes because people don't always get it and they kind of take advantage of it sometimes. So one of the things God wants you to know is the places where people have said things about your character or about who you are, God says, I'm going to take you in this next season into a place where I'm going to heal your heart. Some words have gotten in there and caused you pain, and He said, I'm going to take that away. This is your season. But also, He said, I'm going to show you how to protect your heart. Proverbs 23:4? I'm not sure. But I'm 65 and I can forget these things. Yeah. It's right around there. I think it's Proverbs 23:4. It says, watch over your heart with diligence because it's the wellspring of life. And God's going to show you how to watch over your heart. So when people come and they don't value what they see, they don't realize how precious what you carry is, God's going to show you how to protect it. And He's going to bring you some people. It won't be just one person. It'll be a couple people. And they're going to give you some insights, some help to know, hey, Bea, here's a way when this thing comes and it tries to mess up and soil what's so precious in you, here's how you protect your heart. So it's going to be easier to be Bea. Because sometimes it hurts to be Bea right now because people don't get what's going on in here. But that was all just kind of warm up.
Oh. Okay.
God says that you're going to hear the cadence of heaven. You've been playing on this stuff, and I love that. I play bass.
Yay.
So I'm a rhythm player too. I get it. You know, I get that. But God says you're going to start to hear the cadence of heaven. When you do things, when you worship, when you're interacting with people, there's a rhythm that you're going to get that's the heartbeat of heaven rather than just the noise around you. It's not something you're going to have to strive for. It's already in there. God's just letting you know, I'm going to start to open it up now. You're going to see stuff when you're worshiping. You already see stuff, don't you? You're going to know what it is you're seeing more and why you're seeing it, because that's part of understanding the rhythm of heaven. And I felt like God said, don't you let people talk you out of what you've got, because it's real, real special to Him. And even when they don't get it, Jesus says, I get it, and I love it.
Yeah, man.
Amen. Okay, we're done. You guys don't have any questions, so we're all set. Let's go eat, get coffee. I probably ought to do something, right? You got me on the plane to get me all over. I should probably do something. This is an equipping weekend, and so I want to talk today in lead up to maybe we're meeting, I think, with the house church leaders at some point and some of the ministry teams. So this is going to set some of the framework for what we're going to talk about in terms of ministry. But also, it's going to come down into the house churches. When you have people over to your house church, you invite new people. There's things we can do to bring a prophetic word from God to people that are going to make it easier, more comfortable for them. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Plus, as the guest speaker, I can say some things to you that it's a lot harder when the pastor or your house church leader or your team leader. Maybe it's a little harder to say because you see them all the time. And besides, I'm the guest speaker, right? So I get to do that. You may not hear anything new today. I might say it a little bit different. Well, I know I'm not going to hear anything new because you don't have any questions. I am taking you guys with me. You got to loan them out once in a while. Romans 12:10. Turn to that one. I so appreciate what Pastor Sam said to lead up to this thing. This is all about love. If we don't have that, let's all go home, because it doesn't make any difference. If we're not doing that, we've got a problem. And when it comes to the area of prophetic ministry, really tied close to love is honor. Boy, you missed that one. But we're warming up. We're going to get it. Really close to love is honor. And a prophetic ministry person who doesn't understand how to honor who they're ministering to is going to miss it, even if they get the words right. Because without love, we got zero. And if we aren't able to honor the one that we're ministering to, that they can go back and go, wow, I really feel valued, we've missed it. Romans 12:10 says, you really want to look at this, because this may be the only verse I get to today. I have about 4 days worth of stuff to do in this thing, so I'm just going to go. It's 14:35 when I started. When I get to 15:35, wherever I'm at, we're stopping. To be continued, probably. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. If you, as a prophetic minister, memorize no other verse, memorize that verse. There's a lot of verses that are helpful. I'm pretty sure it's Proverbs 4:23, by the way, now that I'm thinking about it. I'm 65. It takes a while for everything to get settled in here, and it like lands around and stuff like that. If you don't get anything else, it's about love and honor that says, this person in front of me deserves the love of Jesus expressed to them in a way that honors who they are, regardless of where they are in their life. If you take nothing else home, take that home. Because the rest of this is just going to be some of the things you can do to honor. But if we do not love and we do not honor, forget it. I don't want you praying for me. I want to be honored. I want to be loved. And see, that's going to be the expression of Jesus. Because when you bring somebody into your house church, they're not going to be attracted because you got a word that says, hey, your uncle was this and, you know, all this kind of stuff. That isn't what's going to keep them there. They can go to a witch doctor or a spiritist or a new ager. They can get all that. What they cannot get is loved. What they cannot get is honored for the person they are, wherever they're at in their journey. This would have been a really cool place for an amen. You guys are so much fun. I love being here. Did I say that? The focus of a prophetic ministry is to communicate God's heart to other people. And we have the privilege of connecting them. I've been doing this a while, and it never ceases to just kind of amaze me. I get to connect somebody to God. I mean, come on. There's a lot of stuff I can do in life, but I get to be the one who connects somebody to the Lord. I was riding in an Uber car coming over to somebody's house for lunch, and so I was chatting with the guy, and he was talkative. He's like, okay, maybe we can do something today. And so we're talking about kids and grandkids, because he was happy because he was older and he won the battle. So he was 67 and I was 65, so he won. I said, yeah, but how many grandkids do you have? And I won that battle. So we're chatting and we get close to the thing and I said, could I just bless you? And he says, no, I don't want any money. And I said, no, I don't want to give you money. I only have small bills. Anyway, no, what I'd like to do is I would like to speak a word of blessing over you. And he goes, what is that? And I said, well, it'll be nice. Would you let me do it? And he said, okay. And so I just started talking to him about how valuable he was and how much, and I didn't say God right away because I never know where people are at. So I just started speaking about it. And then I said, you know, and God made you the way you are and he really likes it. And he goes, how would you know that? I said, because he just told me. sits back in his seat and he goes, "Really?" I go, "Yeah." He said, "I didn't know God talked." I go, "He's got lots to say. Do you want to hear more?" But we just drove up, so I had to be done. But I said, "You go home tonight and you say, 'God, I want to hear more,' and he's going to talk to you." He felt valued. Be devoted to love, be devoted to honor. We got it? I'm going to stay here till we get it. Because the rest of this is the mechanics of how we walk it out. Part of this is important because how long is an average meeting? Not how long do you stay, but about how long is an average house church meeting? 90 minutes? Something like that? Not the food part. I know that goes for like 3 days. It's like some sort of Jewish celebration or something. But the actual meeting part. Thank you. You don't have an hour and a half to try to do prophetic ministry. They will get up and leave if you're trying to take like 20 minutes to get this stuff all out. If you're talking to your Uber driver, you do not have 5 minutes to try to get it all wound up and nailed back down and all that kind of stuff. We have to come to the place where we can say, how do I love and honor this person, and do it in a matter of minutes. It's like people with their testimony. About 2 months ago, I shared in our church, we've been talking about true riches. And one of the big true riches is the harvest that God brings in a whole bunch of different areas of life. And I shared one of the things about where I experienced true riches, where over the course of about 10 years, because I've always given tithes and offerings. One of the great heritages my parents gave me was to give tithes and offerings. God's always taken care of me. I got a whack of money stories for normal people. I mean, I don't like have millions of dollars. Although with the real estate now, maybe I do have $1 million. I don't know. But it's not about the collection of money, but true riches are things we can only get through the Holy Spirit doing for us. And started out just to be faithful, like Sam said, in small groups and all that. A tithe, God promoted our cell group that we were the ministry team for all the Korean pastors that flew in from Korea and everything. God advanced, all these different things that happened. Well, a part of what happened was, and just because I don't want to take any more time for this, our church, and because of a connection I had with a ministry in Asia, was able to bring gospel worship music to an entire people group in India. 4 million people got to hear the gospel worship music in their own language for the very first time because of what I was able to do and through our church. 4 million people who didn't ever hear the gospel in their own language. Yeah, and I'm thinking, who, me, why, how could that ever be? I'm just like this accountant. I have a little cell group. But we have people come in, like Sam Song. And he said, there's something here. And now I've been, to Asia like 7 times however long I've been here. God opens doors to us when we're faithful to do the things. But in your cell group, it's got to be in a context that will work for people. They're not going to sit there for half an hour if they don't even know what they're doing. The people that you talk to at work are not going to listen to a 25-minute testimony. When you're standing with somebody in the subway, you got, 2 minutes before they get off the next thing. You need to be able to share. And so in context where we share, we want to be able to honor, but we want to be able to do it in a way that's going to really honor and also get it done in a reasonable amount of time. We want to share the long stories, but we rarely have time for that. So what's the focus of the prophetic ministry? If we keep in mind that it's communicating God's heart to other people, that'll help. This is about God. And it's not about me. I know I'm speaker and everybody wants to come and get a prophetic word. Hey, some of the people up here last night can give a better word than I can. Okay, the people that are up here are just going, eh, I don't think so. Hey, God is not a respecter of persons. He will use anybody to do whatever he wants to do. As a prophetic ministry person, it's about honor, right? Praying with Rachel last night, if Rachel gets a word that just opens up somebody's heart and blesses them, and I don't say a word, we all won. Hello? Because it's not about me. It's not about Rachel. It's about the person that's standing in front of you or sitting in front of you. That's the one that matters. That's how we honor them. It's like, I'm not here to try to get the word that, you know, I know everything about you and your whole life. By the way, those of you who came with sin, you really should repent. Not because I know about it, and I wouldn't tell if I did. It's about honoring the person. God's not going to embarrass you and humiliate you. Hello? He's not going to call out sin. Why am I here? Why am I talking about this? Turn to Romans 2:4. Somebody remind me of my notes. Again, Kenny, go as quick as you can to get there because... Okay. Romans 2:4 says, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. God doesn't get in your face and beat you up. We better not be beating people up with the prophetic. People are going to be drawn to God because he is so kind, and he goes, look, I know you messed your life up. Here's how I can fix it. I know you feel left out. Here's how I can make you belong. I know those things you did, and his kindness leads us to repentance. We don't have to preach sin. You know we're in the new covenant, right? Thank you. One guy, he's probably Jewish over there, got it. If we're on a prophetic group ministry, and if only one person has a word, and it's only 30 seconds long, and it gets home, we all won. Because it's about honoring the other person. Prophetic ministry is not about me. It's not about you. It's about the person sitting in front of you. So the more God-conscious we can become, the more effective we're going to be in prophetic ministry. So, what time did I say I was going to be done by? Because I just found out we have some questions. And you may be asking some of the questions. I've got stuff I was going to talk about, so I'm going to go that direction. So how do we want to do this?
I'll ask you.
Oh, okay.
Hey, thanks, everyone. It was actually really good questions that came up here. Right? So if I do your question, and if the answer is not sufficient, or maybe it's a different, we are understanding it differently, then you can, because I think everyone's in this room right now, right? So then you can actually grab the mic and re-clarify for us, okay? Because we want to make sure that you get your answer as best as possible. All right, so I'll do...
Ooh, we feel like we're on a game show now. We got the microphone ready to run around.
Okay, Pastor, how do you react to a word that you think is not from God?
Am I giving it or am I receiving it?
I think you're receiving it. Like you're receiving a word and you're pretty sure it's not from the Lord. How do you think you should react?
Ignore it.
Okay. Next.
Do we need more? Do we need... Look, if the Spirit of God in you doesn't resonate with it, then ignore it. Depending on who it comes from, you might want to take it and maybe just keep it aside or write it down or keep it taped and come back to it later. But, yeah, if it's like, wow, that's just wrong. I've been to places, reputable places that do prophetic ministry. Mary and I were at one, and we got this word, and we're walking out, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I go, do you want this thing? Yeah, they gave us a tape. I said, do you want this thing? He goes, and she goes, no. We tossed the garbage on the way out. Didn't even make it out the door. If it doesn't resonate with you, don't worry about it. God is plenty capable of getting through to you in a way that makes sense to you. So don't worry about it.
That's good. And I would add, it would probably be nice to put together a notebook of words, because sometimes it may not be for now. It could be a deposit for later. And especially if you trust the person.
Yeah.
Right? So I have a notebook I've kept for years. And quite a few of your words are in there. So it's quite nice.
Have any of them come true?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, good.
Tons.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, because some of the words are actually for future, right? So.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I should have got you.
That's all right. See, and we honor, too, because his chair is higher than mine.
Okay.
I am so glad to be here with you. I am. I love this. Okay.
Okay, number two. Do you call yourself a prophet?
No. Do I need to elaborate?
Yeah.
Okay. A prophet is a person who's designated by God and recognized by peers as being in the office of prophet. Everybody can prophesy. I will prove that to you tomorrow. Everybody can prophesy. Not everybody is a prophet. Just because you prophesy does not mean that you are a prophet. I have the title of pastor. I'm actually not that pastoral. I had to work hard to learn how to be pastoral. My function in the body of Christ is a teacher. That's what I'm really good at. That's what God makes me good at. That's what really excites me. So, no, I'm not a prophet. A title, regardless of what the title is, evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, has to be recognized by peers and called out by peers. It's not something you get a business card and stick it on the card, and I'm, you know, prophet so-and-so. Avoid those people like the plague. Because all they've done is they said, this is who I am, rather than being recognized by the corporate spirit of leaders who are seasoned and aware of what it looks like. So no, I'm not one, because God's never told me that. Nobody's ever recognized that. I'm a prophetic person who teaches and loves Jesus.
Okay. When you're, I guess this question is, when you're giving a word, how do you know if it's God or the enemy?
Okay. Those of you who were here last night, what's the answer? But why wouldn't it be God? I'm sitting down there, and Gia walks up to the front and says, I want a word from God. Okay, God, what do you want to say to Gia? Why wouldn't the next thing be God? We have to test it like we talked about last night, but why wouldn't it be God? If I came up and asked you, could you get me a cup of water, you're going to go out and get me a cup of water and come back, because, you know, you get a prophet's reward, but then I'm not a prophet, so that doesn't really help you very much. But at least I got water. Okay, I'm tempted to say, what did we say last night? But I know people aren't here, and we need to go over it. We tested, first of all, does it sound like something Jesus would say? Because he is love expressed. Is this something Jesus would say to people? Is it aligned with everything that's in the Word of God? The whole counsel of the Word of God, does this sound like something God said? Does it line up with 1 Corinthians 14:3? Is it nice stuff from God? Which means if you're going to receive or give a lot of prophetic words, it'd be a good idea if you learn what the Bible has to say about stuff, especially about how God talks. What is God's heart when you're sharing it? So there is no ironclad guarantee. This is all relational, but does it sound like Jesus? Does it line up with what the Word says? Is it 1 Corinthians 14:3, nice stuff from God? That's a pretty good starting place for doing most of the stuff. The additional thing you can do after that is, if you do record it, and recording things is really easy, I encourage everybody to record everything that somebody says, this is a prophetic word, record it. You can write it down, put it in a file somewhere. You can go back, and there's a bunch of reasons we can do that, and that's in here somewhere if we get that far. But it also lets you test it and go, hey, Sam, I got this word. I'm not really sure. Can you listen to this thing and let me know, what do you think? What does the Spirit say to you? I'm not really sure. So we can get it tested by other people as well. Yeah, just because somebody says, thus saith the Lord, don't make it so.
Well, that's good lean in, because in sharing a prophetic word, we preface with I feel, I sense, as opposed to saying God says, or words of the same effect. Like, should you, I guess, is the question.
Probably, most of the time. I do some of both. It depends on the degree of confidence I feel in the thing, how comfortable I was. When I prayed for, I'm 65, help me out. Bea.
I was pretty confident.
What'd I do? Yeah. Oh, okay. I was pretty confident of that one because God dropped it in my heart while she was playing. So I had time to kind of think about, is this really what you're going to say? Do you want me to do it now? How do you want me to add to this thing? And so it was a pretty, here's what God wants to say. You don't have to. It doesn't become more powerful because you say, God said this to you. Hey, if it's God, you can go, I just got this thought. If it's God, it'll still get in and do what it's supposed to do. When you're learning, if you say, you know, I got this sense or I got this feel, it gives you a little bit of grace and wiggle room if you haven't quite got it right or you're having trouble getting it out. So when you're starting, sure, I got this impression. If it's God, it's still going right in. Thus saith the Lord, don't make it better. We get that? Because it's about your heart, not about the exact verbiage you use.
Yeah, I think at SP, especially when you're starting, we say, if it's right, you say it in a way that God gets all the glory.
Yep.
And if it's wrong, you say it in a way that you get all the blame.
Yep.
Right? That's a simple way to make it. Okay, next question.
What he said.
Right? What are your views regarding sharing names and dates when prophesying?
I guarantee you that one's in here. I won't even need notes by the time I get done because we're doing them all. What's my view on it?
What's your view?
This is simple, too. Don't. Do you want more? I mean, I can give you more, but really, names, dates, mates, and calendar things, and kids. You don't. You got to be really... Yeah, fine. The one time I break my rules and she's sitting in the front row laughing at me. Okay, that's all right. You need to be really, really, really good and have a really good track record before you even go in that area. It's not because that necessarily is anything more or less significant. The reason why you don't do this is because the damage it can do if you get it wrong is massive. A woman comes to you and she can't have kids, and you say, God's going to bring a child to you this year. If that child doesn't show up, it's like, God abandoned me. What's wrong with me that God wouldn't do what he just said he was going to do? I'm waiting for somebody to come and get married, you know, or whatever, you know, those kinds of things. And if we get it wrong, it's massive damage. And, you know, wow, God doesn't love me. You know, I knew he didn't really like me very much. Now he said, I'm going to have this. And then he took it back and he doesn't mean it. And just it's really bad. So, and I'm sure it's the house rules here. We haven't talked about this, but I'm certain it's the house rules. You don't do mates, you don't do dates, and you don't do kids. Now, what you can do as you're learning, and it's something that I've done and had people do is, in fact, the last time I was here, I got picked up by our children's pastor, and she said, we're driving home, and she says, my sister hasn't been able to have children. Could you pray for her? And so we're sitting in the car, and I think I came home, I don't know, maybe like late spring or something. And I'm just writing, come on, God, open her, you know, give her the desire of her heart or whatever kind of thing. And I get next August. I go, okay. So Sunil, I trust she understands, and we've talked about it a lot together. I said, okay, I feel like God just said she's going to be pregnant and know she's pregnant by December, and she's going to have a baby in August. I said, so what do you want to do with this? And what we've done when people are trying to learn this stuff is write it down, take a picture of it with a date stamp on it so people know you're not faking it, and then just hold on to it. Now, her sister-in-law isn't a Christian, but she got her doors blown off when in September, and the baby's 1 month old, says, here's what God said. Last year, he said, you're going to be pregnant by December, and you're going to have a baby in August. But she didn't get damaged if I was jet-lagged, stupid, whatever's going on, you know. Hey, I do stupid well. It's one of my strongest gifts. You're laughing, but you don't live with me. And you don't live inside here where you really know the truth. So she got to have this validation that, hey, God was really in this thing. God opened up your womb and he knew when it was coming. Real testimony to a non-Christian. But there wasn't the risk of Rob's jet lagged and he just screwed this thing up. So you can do things like that. Or even if you're not doing like a mate or a date or something like that, you can still write stuff down, show it to someone, hang on to it, and see if it happens. And that's how you can learn to develop being specific in your prophetic ministry. But you don't say it to the people. And whatever house rules and discipline and time off from ministry needs to happen, that has to happen. It's just too big of a risk of damage if you don't get it right. You want to add?
We just stone them. That's what.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, next question. If you get a picture that you don't...
Do you want to add anything that, as the leader of the house?
We agree.
Yeah.
Same.
We do that a lot. Yeah. See, actually, I could be reading the questions and he could be answering them and they'd be the same, but, you know, they paid me to come over here, so...
Okay. If you get a picture that you don't understand, is it okay to ask for another picture?
Yes. What the heck was that, God? Can you try it again? I'm sorry. I'm just really slow. I don't get it. Yeah, for sure. You go back and get it. Or if you get a picture and you go, okay, I got the picture, but what does it mean? Can you give me another one? Give me a clue. What are we talking about here? Why do I see that thing? You know? Yes, by all means, go back and get clarification and ask. No question about it.
Yeah. And then sometimes the picture may not be significant for you, but it may be significant for the person you're praying for, right? So it might be good to still share, right?
Or you can ask God, okay, I'm clueless. I have no idea what this is about. Do I need to share it to the person? Because most of the time, pictures are for you. Most of the time, I can't see these two beautiful women on the front row, and it's like, hey, you know, this is just in the way. You know, sometimes it is for the other person, but most of the time the picture is for you to let you know, here's what you need to say about to the person about what I'm doing. But yeah, you know, you go, man, God, I got no clue in this. Hey, does this gray bunny with the pink ears mean anything to you? Because I'm clueless, except I knew what that one was. But, yeah, you can ask.
Okay. Is it okay to start a prayer for someone when you feel you don't have the complete download yet?
Oh, anybody who thinks they're getting a full download when they start is dreaming. Last night... I did it again, didn't I? Okay. There we go. Last night, I mentioned this, but I'll mention it again. It takes no faith to read a teleprompter. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. God will give you something to start with if you're lucky. If you're fortunate. I shouldn't say lucky. If you're favored of God, he will give you something to start with. Sometimes you start with one word or two words, a little phrase, a little idea, and it develops. I know this is an incredibly old, but I'm 65. I'm incredibly old movie, but the Indiana Jones where he's looking for the Holy Grail, right? and he gets up to the very last thing, and he's got to go across this cavern, and there's no stairs. And he goes, I have to just take a step. And that's kind of like the prophetic. It's like, okay, God, I got this one little thing. I know it's over there, and here's what you want me to say, and I'm going to take a step. And just like Indy got, you will get some words, and more stuff's coming. Because God wants you to do this. Yeah? He's not saying, good luck, you're on your own, hope it works for you. Didn't work for most people. Sure didn't work for you last time, did it? No, he wants you to do this. If you take a step of faith, but he's not going to give you the whole thing. It just doesn't happen. Yeah, you start out and you go, hey, I just feel like God wants you to know. And you start out, a little bit more comes, and you get in flow, and you've got a prophetic word. If you're waiting for the whole thing, you'll be sitting there a long time.
Okay, I don't quite understand fully this question, but maybe...
Ooh, discernment, clarify. Discernment.
Yeah. Well, what is the difference between the gift of prophecy and the gift of prophet?
The prophet is an office.
Right.
The gift is something that everybody gets to do. It's just, I get to prophesy.
Okay. What is the place of prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom in the workplace with regards to business decisions?
Really?
Yeah.
I would think you'd want to take God to work with you all the time. It can show up so many different ways. Even learning how to hear God's voice. You know, I'm an accountant. We love spreadsheets. We can do spreadsheets, which is fine unless you happen to need to go home because, like, it's cell group that night or house church that night and your spreadsheet doesn't work. Easily a dozen times in my career, it's like, okay, it's house church night. I got to go home. I got to be there. We got to have the meeting. God, what the heck is wrong with this spreadsheet? And I get a picture in my mind, it's right there, and I go there and I fix it, and I go home. You know, word of knowledge isn't just about you're going to be in heaven and see angels or something. Word of knowledge is, Samuel said to Saul, Saul's going to seek out Samuel because his dad said, go talk to him. And Samuel's like freaking out about what were they, donkeys or sheep or something? Some kind of critters in 1 Samuel, about the third chapter. I think donkeys. So he's looking all over the place, and Samuel goes, I got to give him a word. But this guy's just fixated on donkeys. And so Samuel starts the word with, don't worry about the donkeys. They're already home. They've been found in their home. Okay, that's a word of knowledge. Do you think God could give you a word of knowledge on how to talk best to your boss? That you could get a word of wisdom when everybody's sitting in a marketing meeting and they don't know what to do, and God drops something that's just so wise, everybody goes, yeah, what she got. We're doing that because that's really smart. Of course we take God to work with us. I don't know where the church got the idea that the only time we can interact with God is when we're sitting in this building, because that's nonsense. Do you know how many people got saved in the New Testament? How many people got saved in the temple? Zero. The closest anybody got was somebody got saved in the colonnade, which is like Solomon's porch. That's really like cool. But most of the people, it was in the streets, somebody's house or something like that. Of course we're supposed to take this gift out into the marketplace.
Can you use a prophetic for personal gain?
At your own risk.
Like picking stocks and things like that?
At your own risk. People who mess with this thing, this is intended to bless other people. What did we start with today? Love and honor. You're going to have a hard time squeezing my personal profit into this thing. But what's amazing is if we honor God with our wealth, you may get more. Now, you may get it in true riches. You may get it in anointings. You may get it in finances. I got seven or eight different stories. It's not massive amounts of money, but I had somebody, when we sold our house this last time, because we had to sell it because of my wife's health, who, after we had gone through all the negotiations, we had another offer come in. The guy called back and said, what will it take? You name your price, and I will buy your house. Are you serious? So he can do that, but that's not why we do this stuff. But if we're faithful with a little, which is money, he's going to give us true riches. And part of true riches can be, for the ones that God has given the power to create wealth, could be money. But if your motive is to make money, please step back from me, because, you know, sometimes I don't know how accurate the lightning of God is or something or whatever. I don't want to be around you. I don't want to be around you when you're dealing with God and you've tried to use what is precious to him for your own wealth. Hello? You do it at your own risk.
Okay, this is a kind of a long question. Seems like the trend in prophetic ministry these days is to only say nice things to the recipient. However, is there not a place for sharp rebuke like Old Testament-style prophecy to wake people from their sin or slumber as evidenced in some older school prophetic ministries? Are we not in danger, then, of actually only adapting to the ways and times of the current millennial generation thinking, where one can only say positive things instead of any rebukes that could hurt sensitive one's feelings?
Man, we're like speaking in tongues in that one. You're free to disagree with me. My answer is no. God's kindness leads to repentance. If you want to live in the Old Testament, then you better get out all the Jewish law. You better live by all the rules. You better follow all of the traditions of the law. Because if you're going to live under the law for one thing, you have to live under the law for all of the things. God's kindness leads us to repentance. Prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14:3 says prophecy is for exhortation, edification, and comfort. There is a place to bring correction, but it's not, thus saith the Lord, thou art a sinner and going to hell. That's not where it belongs. There is a place for correction. And hopefully you guys haven't had to do that before. But yeah, I've had to sit down with people who have, you know, cheated in their marriages and all kinds of stuff. And we've talked about it. But it isn't in the context of giving prophetic ministry words to each other. Why? Because New Testament prophecy is for exhortation, encouragement, and comfort. If you're beating somebody up with a prophetic word in my church, we're going to have a chat. And you're probably going to be sitting with me for a while. And we're going to be talking about why you decided it was your job to be judge, jury, and executioner of this person with God's prophetic word.
Yeah. You know, the way we try to explain it here at SP is there is a distinct difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. Right? Remember, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was only given to kings, the priests, and the prophets. In the New Testament, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit is given to all flesh. And so everything changes then. And so what Paul is laying out in 1 Corinthians 14 is the way that he wants prophecy to be used now in New Testament context, which is edification, exhortation, consolation. And so that's the parameters. Now, you may get a picture or a sense of some sin, but again, what I said when I introduced Rob, right, that's the job of the accuser of the brethren. He points out sin. Yeah. The job of the prophetic ministry is you see the sin, but you call out what God is doing behind it or despite it mm-hmm. to call them into their destiny. That's the power of prophetic ministry. And so don't get in this idea of the Old Testament prophecy, you know, because quite frankly, Old Testament prophecy, you're wrong, you're dead. New Testament prophecy, prophets stand and judge and they make a judgment and you get to live. Right, so there's clear distinctions between the two, and there's actually a really good book by Wayne Grudem, you know, New Testament prophecy, Old Testament, New Testament, that really lays out a kind of a very good exegesis of what we're basically talking about here. So, okay, that was good. Here's another one. I had a word 2 years ago that I felt was for the church at that time. Last night, however, the prophecy to me held 80% of the words. That was in the Word 2 years ago, but this time it was for me. I'm just wondering if I misinterpreted back then, or was it the same Word progressing into last night's Word?
I don't know. Ask God. It's your Word, not mine.
Maybe whoever gave this question, you want to clarify if that doesn't make
sense, or
we're not understanding?
Or you can come up afterwards and chat a little bit or something. I'm not sure how long it might take to unwind that a little bit, because I don't even feel qualified to answer that yet without a little bit more information. But honestly, the answer is I don't know. When we don't know, I'm going to get in trouble if I presume. If we're trying to help somebody interpret something and we're taking pieces of it, unless God gives a really clean download that says, here's the deal. All of this stuff they just told you, here's the deal. Unless I get that, it's like, we got to chat a little bit. I don't really know the answer to that. You know, saying I don't know is not a sin. It's actually wise sometimes, because we need to get a little bit more detail to even know how we're going to comment on things.
Yeah, so maybe the person, you just come talk to Rob afterwards, okay, after the session today.
Yeah.
Is it healthy to seek feedback for your prophecies or to detach yourself in faith that God will do his work?
Oh, no, give feedback. I mean, you want one of the things in your house church is you'll be able to get feedback, because you're not going to have guests who don't know Jesus every time. You may have the same people you had last week, but you can get feedback, because all of you are going to have different kinds of weeks. Some people are going to come in, they're really good one week, they had a really hard week the next week, so the prophetic words, if you're prophesying to each other, are going to be different. And by all means, get feedback. That's how you learn, oh, when I had that thought and I said it and wow, it was right, that's what God sounds like up here. That's how I differentiate my thoughts from his thoughts, is I got feedback and go, wow, what you just said was God. That so spoke to my heart. So by all means, give feedback.
I think this is the best question so far.
Oh boy.
What if you're annoyed by the person you're supposed to prophesy over?
I'm sorry, what?
What if you're annoyed by the person you're supposed to prophesy over? Should you just walk away or stay silent? I want to know who this is.
Okay, I have a question. For whoever asked that question, or if you have that, here's my question. How good at this are you? Can you set aside the grievance or the hurt or the offense that you've got to say, God, doesn't matter how angry, frustrated, hurt I am, what do you want to say, and I'll give it clean? And if you figure out how to do that consistently, write a book and you will become a bestseller. In general, no. If you've got an offense towards someone, you don't need to be prophesying to them. You need to say, hey, I'm offended by what you did, and we got to talk. Remember, Jesus said, if you're on your way to church and you got offense with somebody, don't go to church. Go to the person and get it fixed and then come to church. I mean, if we really believed that, there'd be like 11 people here this Sunday, because we'd all be actually doing what Jesus said. I think in my church, there probably would be no one there, because I would have to go too, probably. What do you mean you didn't come? Oh, I'm offended because you didn't come. Okay, well, now I got to go talk to you too. Definitely clean it up before you give a prophetic word. Look, getting a nice, clean, Holy Spirit word is challenging enough when you're learning. When you got all this junk and issues with the person, just don't go. Get it fixed. Because what's more important, giving a prophetic word or having the relationship made whole? Which one does God value more? He values relationship way more than you getting a prophetic word. He's going, forget the word, go fix the relationship. You get that fixed, then you can give a prophetic word.
Okay.
That was a cool question, though. Yeah.
Sometimes it seems easier to hear a word for other people than for myself. Thoughts on this?
Get more words for yourself. Yes, it is easier to hear for other people. It's true. Because you don't have the emotional investment, you don't have to dig through all your stuff, it is easier. But what's the point? If we're not connecting with Jesus, I'm going to share tomorrow about why I do prophecy, and it's not because it's fun for you. I'm glad. I hope it's fun, but that's not why I do it. If we can't hear God for us, what is the point? It's all about relationship, right? We said yes to Jesus so we can be in relationship, and then if we can't even have a dialogue with God, why am I trying to get a dialogue for somebody else? Get it for me, And out of my relationship that I've already experienced with God, I'm going to share with you out of the overflow.
Okay. Let's say an old, not-so-good memory pops into my mind. It's so random that my sense is that God wants me to pray about it. I know I can pray about it and ask God if that's what it is, but is there a quick way to know if it's that or if it's the enemy bringing up the not-so-good memory to discourage? Does it matter? Example, even if the enemy wants to discourage, I can still make it into a good thing by praying and speaking blessings over it.
Yes. what was the first part? the things come in. Okay, when it comes in, how do you know it's God or the enemy? Satan comes to condemn. God comes to convict. Conviction draws you to God and back to restoration of relationship. Satan comes in to just kick your tail and drive you away from God. So that's how you can tell if it's God or the enemy. One's going to say, come on, Rob, you can fix this thing. You can deal with this thing. I got enough grace for this thing. I can show you how to overcome this. I'll walk with you through this thing. The enemy goes, you're a jerk. You're a loser. You're never going to make it. It's not going to happen at all. Don't even try. God's not going to help you in this. You're just stuck. You're going to be a loser for the rest of your life. Maybe a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't know. I've had that happen to me, so you can do with it what you want. But basically, it's going to be one is conviction that draws you to God. The other one is condemnation that pushes you away. What was the next part? Oh, yeah, you can turn it into something. I'm 65. It takes me a while to process this stuff. I told you I'm going to milk this baby for everything I got. Yes, you can. When the enemy brings in an accusation, it's like if you're praying, let me switch gears and I'll come right back to it. If you're praying for somebody, they come up and they stand in front of you and you get, wow, they're really dealing with anxiety. Okay, the prophetic word does not start with, the Lord says you are really dealing with a lot of anxiety. That's not a good word, right? It's not a 1 Corinthians 14:3 word. What we do is, okay, if you get the word anxiety, it could be God telling you that, but what we're going to do is speak blessing, right? So what's God's opposite of anxiety? Peace, maybe. So what is our word going to be? God wants you to know that in spite of all of the circumstances in your life, he says, I'm going to bring you peace. I'm going to show you how to find peace in the middle of the storm. I'm going to teach you what it is to bring your heart at peace. I'm going to show you how to walk in rest. All coming from the initial word of, they're anxious. So, yeah, you can build something out of it to be something good, but if it's you dealing with your behavior, this may be too simplistic too, but ask God, is this you or not? Now, that does imply that you have enough of a relationship to actually get an answer to that. So the more you build your day-to-day relationship, would you need an answer to something like this where there is potential emotional or mental conflict, then you can tell, is this thing up here me or is it God? Did I get all the pieces of that? That was a lot.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we are for now because, you know, I got my time limit I have to pay attention to.
You mentioned no names, no dates, etc. Does this also apply to healing? Should you say that a person will be healed if that's what you're hearing from God?
That's a good question. I think probably you've got to deal with the thing yourself. What we teach, I'm assuming we're something close to that, is we absolutely pray for healing every single time. The word says, by his stripes, we have been healed. It's all taken care of on the cross. He forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. He doesn't just forgive all your sins, but say you got to keep some of your sickness. It's all part of the package of what Jesus completed on the cross. So do I prophesy that you're going to get healed? I don't think I would use that language, but I pray for healing every single time for every single ailment. Do I know it's going to happen? Hasn't so far. You know, it's pretty frustrating the last couple of years for me. I prayed and seen people get healed of some pretty significant things, and then I go home to my wife that's in pain in bed. That is not my favorite activity. So if somebody prophesied to me, your wife will be healed, I'm going, okay, I agree with that. Am I saying that this is a thus saith the Lord, and that's why we say, I get the impression God's really going to do something to bring healing to your wife or something like that, rather than thus saith the Lord, or God says, she will be healed and get up and walk. That's sort of like the mates and the dates and that kind of thing. You better be good, because if I'm hanging all of my hope and all of my confidence on your prophetic word that says she's going to get healed by, you know, next Tuesday, and it doesn't happen, I got to really do some heavy lifting to go, okay, God, they said you said it. Well, I don't have to do it now because I just go, well, they missed it, but okay. But a lot of people are going to have a hard time working through that. So do we prophesy that? Probably not. Just pray for healing. Jesus never went up to somebody who was sick and said, I prophesy that you're going to be healed in such and such time. He goes, be healed, and then they got healed. So that's sort of the model for healing, which is a little bit different than the prophetic word.
So could it be more about language? Because when you're praying for the sick, faith, right, and the prayers of faith have to be a very large component of that, which could be kind of sound prophetic, mm-hmm. but it's really more of a prayer of faith. So it's maybe more of a semantics of language.
Sure, I think that's right? Entirely reasonable. And you'll develop language that becomes, I think, more comfortable. I know it's really interesting. We just moved out of our house. We'd been living in this townhome for like 19 years. And I'm not a particular pack rat, but I happened to find 3 years worth of printed out sermons I did. I would never preach any of those today. Not because they were bad at the time. I've just grown in my relationship with God. And it's this language that we develop that goes, you know what? This language works better when I'm talking about this thing in this context. So for like what Sam was talking about here, we may use different language when we're talking about praying for healing, because it's like, in Jesus' name, be healed. I'm not prophesying you will be healed. Because if you prophesy, my wife's going to get healed, and you mess it up, I got a problem. I'm going to have to work through all that stuff. Just pray for healing, and I'm good with that. So I do think there's language in there that we can learn to get better and more, give more grace for how it gets applied. That was good. Thank you.
Yeah. This is kind
you really
of
got a
like,
good pastor. I just want you to know. Like, he's good at this.
It's kind of like another question, but how do you prophesy and love if you don't like a person?
Don't prophesy. Serious. Where do we start with everything? Love. What's the second thing? Honor. If we can't love and honor, shut up. Don't talk. At least don't talk in the name of the Lord. You can go, in the name of Rob, I'm saying you're an idiot. But don't do it in the name of the Lord, because he's not doing that. We have to do it in love with honor. And if you can't get along with a person, keep your mouth shut. Go somewhere and get it worked out. On your way to church this week, if you're not here and you're working it out with a friend, awesome. If you need some help, what does the Bible say to do? Go back with somebody else, and you keep working on it to get it fixed. If you haven't got it fixed, do not prophesy. There's such a good chance that you're going to mess this thing up.
That was it.
We're done.
With a few people, did I ask you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Can I get James and Marilyn? Can you guys come up to the front real quick? Yeah, she's coming.
She looks like she's going.
Oh, no, she's playing with the kids in the back.
Oh, okay. You guys are so much fun. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, it's James' birthday. This is your birthday present, bro. Okay, the whole family's coming.
Of course they are. It's holy ground whether you got them on or off.
Yeah.
James and
Marilyn.
Did I get the right? Yeah, James and Marilyn. I'll take my little humble chair and come over this way. Yeah, you could, by all means, make your kids comfortable, whatever you need to do. They can't, you know, like, that doesn't offend God if kids are kids. It's really okay. James. Yeah, you. God says happy birthday. He said, James, I like the way you think. And you don't hear that very often because you do have a different perspective on things. But God says, I like the way you think. And he wants you to know, son, I don't make junk. I don't make second class. I don't make things that are inferior. And what I feel like God is going to do is to rewrite some of the way that people have spoken things about you and over you, about the way you do things, the way you think about things, the way you process things. It's not bad. What I got the sense was it's limiting where God wants to take you. And I feel like God's birthday present for you is to open up more opportunity for you to experience God, to experience him in places you've never experienced him before. And if I can use this term, and hopefully it doesn't feel religious or anything to you, he wants you to have more fun with him. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. And God says, son, I want to have more fun playing with my boy, doing things together with him, talking about stuff, visions and things of what the future might hold and what your family is going to look like and what's it going to be like to be a papa and just a lot of fun things. God just wants to have more fun with you. And so God's birthday present for you is joy. And so in Jesus' name, I bless you with the gift of joy that you're going to, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, that you're going to enjoy being God's kid. The performance thing stops today. It won't go away because it's going to take you a while to recalibrate or relearn or renew your mind. But God says, joy, not performance, in Jesus' name. You like being a mom, don't you? Yeah, it's just like kind of all over you. And God wants you to know you're going to be a mama to many in the spirit. You carry something that really nurtures people. And God's going to bring like-minded women into your life. I totally see you either being involved in or leading like a mom's group. But it won't just be we're going to get together and have tea and let the kids play together. It's going to be here's how we do life as Christian women and Christian mothers. And you're going to have people that are coming up, this is my first baby, what am I going to do? I don't know how to be a mom and all that kind of stuff. But you're also going to do it with people who go, I accepted Jesus last week, now what do I do? And so I bless the gift of motherhood in you. And I stir up the anointing to be a mother in the spirit as well as a mother in the flesh in you. And when you get old, you're going to have a number of people come up to you and go, you made the difference in my life. You helped me through that time. You helped me to understand what it means to be a mom. Or you were my mom. You were my mom in the spirit. You helped me out when I hurt. I had an owie and all that kind of stuff. And you came and helped make it better. And what's your name?
Zoe.
Pardon me?
Zoe.
Zoe? No kidding? Our dog's name is Zoe. My wife is going to be so happy. She's going to remember. I need a picture of this young lady so I can send to my wife because she's going to be so excited. You know that I don't know if your mom and dad have told you. They probably have because dad would take care of this thing and he would do that. Zoe means life. Zoe, you are a life bringer. put your hand on mine. This hand is going to pray for people and they're going to get healed because you're a life bringer. Give me your other hand. This hand, you're going to put on people's hearts and you're going to heal broken hearts. Where people have been hurt because they said bad things to them, you're going to go, oh, I can pray for you and Jesus will heal their heart, and he's going to do it. You're going to learn how to share Jesus with other people because they're going to go, I don't know what you did, but I want that too. So you're going to get to introduce Jesus to lots and lots of people. And who's this amazing little person?
Ava!
Of course it's Ava! Mom and Dad, this one's a jewel. And she's kind of a challenge, but part of it is she's also, well, because she's so full of life and just, you know, like, watch out, world. Ava just walked in the room kind of a thing. But what she carries is she's got a heart for evangelism and sharing with other people. She will connect with people. You're going to have her drag all her friends over to your house. You're going to get moms coming over. You're going to get dads coming over because she's going to have friends that want to, well, come to my house, you know, because everybody wants to come to Ava's house because she's just the funnest person around. But when they get in the environment of your house, the joy that you carry, the motherhood you carry, the healing that your daughter Zoe carries, she's going to bring the people to impact all the stuff that you carry as a family. God says, I am so pleased with your family. And son, you're well equipped as a man of God, as a father, as a husband, to lead these women into the place of influence and impact in the kingdom. Amen.
Test. Okay. And Alicia, can you come? Can you come up to the front? I'm going to pray.
Oh. Alicia. Hi there. I like your smile. Those of you who know Mary know she has an iridescent smile. Joy Lord's all over, and it's a lot of fun. So I notice smiles. Those matter to me. I just got the word and now I forgot your name.
Alicia?
Okay. Alicia, I felt like God said, what would you like from me? That he's opening the door for you to enter into much more of a connected relationship. And I'm sure you've heard something about covenantal relationship in this church. You go to this church, right? Okay. Of course you do. God says, covenants go into another level. For the things that you've longed for, and there's a couple things you've been asking God for several years with a lot of energy. Okay, sometimes it's not energy. Sometimes it's like complaining almost, and sometimes it's crying out and going, please, God, where are you at and stuff. God says, I've heard all of that. But he says, I'm jealous for Alicia, and I will not give her energy, her talents, her time, and the preciousness of who she is to just any people, organization, or individual. You are so precious to him. And he says, we are in covenant. Even when you're not sure, you feel that. And I don't share covenant people with just anybody. Only the best for my girl. That's what God says. Only the best for my girl. I feel God's encouragement is, don't settle in any area of your life for mediocre. Because you were not made for mediocre. You were made for exceptional. And God says, you are exceptional. And yet, it's a kind of a yeah, but God, there's this thing. So I bless you with God's peace that a covenant God committed to Alicia will bring those things that are on her heart in the time that the other individuals are ready to value you, to cherish you, to recognize this is an outstanding woman that deserves nothing but the best. And God says, I will not share you with someone who does not value you and see you as the best, because that's who you are. You're that precious to him. Amen. You're welcome.